morning. So it's my joy and pleasure today to bring you the third instalment of CrossFit. This week we're going to be talking about prayer. Prayer is a huge topic, and it's a bit like preaching on faith. So, well, where do you start? But what I'm going to endeavour to do today is not so much talk about how to pray, but the benefits of prayer, and indeed the importance of it. But I might throw a few how-tos in along the way, if that's okay. Webster's Dictionary defines prayer as a solemn address to the supreme being, consisting of adoration, which is an expression of our sense of God's glorious perfections, confession of our sins, supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others, and thanksgiving, or an expression of gratitude to God for his mercies and benefits. So there's four things that prayer can include, and that's not inexhaustible, of course, but you can flesh that out in your own prayer time. One of the first things I say every day, and I've taught myself to do this, because really, you know, to develop new habits in life, we actually have to retrain ourselves. We think that training all goes on in the first maybe 7 years of our lives. Well, that's not true. I'm sure you all agree. So even as adults, and even into old age, we have to keep training ourselves. So I have trained myself in the morning, and most mornings I remember, is when I wake up, the first thing I try and say is, "Good morning, Lord." Now, it doesn't always come out as clear as that. It's usually, "Good morning, Lord," because it's early, right? And we don't feel that great first thing in the morning. We look great at church, but most of us don't look great first thing in the morning. So, "Good morning, Lord." It sounds a bit of a, maybe to you it might sound a silly thing to do. But we greet each other in the morning, don't we? We greet our, either our spouse if we're married, or our flatmates, or our children, the people in the street, before we've forgotten to greet our Lord. So I challenge you to try that. It already sets an atmosphere of connectivity to God. "Good morning, Lord." Sometimes I say, "How are you?" Sounds a silly thing to say, but I wonder if anybody does ask God, "How are you doing?" Okay, prayer is basically talking to God and hearing him talk back to you. That doesn't sound anything particularly new, perhaps. If your relationship with God is truly a relationship, then communication is a twofold activity of talking and listening. Now, talking is easy enough because we have so much to say. But listening, however, requires us to be still and wait. Not easy. If you've never tried this, being still and waiting before God, I encourage you to have a go and ask God a question and wait. Now, I'm not talking in your busyness, just sit down and, "Okay, here's a question, God." I'm talking about stilling your spirit before the Lord. Maybe putting on some praise and worship music and getting yourselves in an attitude of prayer. Ask God a question and wait in the stillness to his voice. Often we don't create a quiet space and give him an opportunity to talk with us. So my question for you is a bit confronting, but it's good for us, right? Today I am asking, is a daily quiet moment with God still a necessity in my busy life? I'll read it again. Is a daily quiet moment with God still a necessity in my busy life? The busyness of things obscures our concentration on God. It's been said that busyness kills intimacy. And you can apply that to any relationship that you have. Busyness kills intimacy. We all have stress, of course, and challenges and concerns coming from all directions. Demands of work, uncertain future, the needs of family. but the consuming anxiety around these things can cause us to forget the one who can actually help us with these things. The Bible is full of accounts of people whose lives that we can learn from, particularly in the area of prayer. So one such person with an awful lot on his plate was our precious David. Today we're going to be looking at his life with regards to the spiritual discipline of prayer. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can set aside. Lord, I pray for a spiritual revelation for all of us. As your word is poured forth, Lord, and as my words, that you use me as a conduit, Lord, of what you want to say, that Lord, we would hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Psalm 18, verses 1 to 6. It should be on the screen if you don't have. So just ignore the left-hand side for now. Psalm 18, verse 1. I love you, Lord. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came to his ears. At the time of writing this psalm, King Saul, who was the most powerful man in the country, was hunting David. I encourage you to read the account in 1 Samuel chapters 23, actually through to 26, where it's recorded that Saul tried to take David's life four times and he had to go into hiding. And David was limited as to where he could run because as many of the Philistines were still angry at him for killing Goliath, as you remember the story in the Bible, and also many of his other men in battle. And he had to be careful of bandits also who would want to kill him for many different reasons. So he had to go into hiding. His constant running and hiding for survival resulted in his great need for food and other provisions. However, through all of his hardship, he was consistent with one thing. He ran to the Lord, who gave him strength and security. David's spiritual disciplines were his habit and lifestyle. When David prayed, God gave him direction. When God said, move, David moved. Prayer saved his life. He needed to stay prayer fit. This psalm was written as a result of all that David had been through, not only by the hand of Saul, but also through many battles fought. So let's have a look at that scripture beside Psalm 18, if we could. If you have a look at it carefully, in verse 2, it starts as Psalm 18, verse 1. It's pretty much identical, the whole psalm. So here you can see that the context of the psalm was written in the book of Samuel, where David was in the thick of it. In fact, he'd come through a lot by the time he wrote it, because it's recorded kind of at the end of 2 Samuel. But you can see that it's pretty identical if you read them and compare them. So sometimes we read the Psalms and think, oh, he just wrote all that as songs and poems and things on their own, but he didn't. He wrote them in the context of what he was going through. So I just show that to you to say that. Billy Graham said, True prayer is a way of life, not just for use in spiritual emergency. Ooh. How many times do we limit prayer to our crisis that we go through? Prayer should be something that we are constantly investing in. And yes, when the hard times come, because they come to us all, we're in a better position to draw from that. Is prayer a part of your daily spiritual CrossFit? Do we limit our prayer to only times of crisis? I like to compare my prayer life to a well. You know, if the well is full, then there's plenty of clean water to draw from, right? But if the water level starts to go down, and that's usually because of busyness or sin, then we get to the sediment at the bottom of the well and dirt, and the water's dirty down there. So we can't drink it. And that's where the disconnection starts to happen between you and God. You don't know, you've forgotten how to talk to Him. So that's why we need to keep our well full, our prayer well full. And I'm not talking about hours and hours on your knee. I'm talking about a constant habit of talking to God throughout the day, beginning with, "Good morning, Lord." It's not hard. So what happens when we pray? Prayer produces, number one, intimacy. God deepens our love for Him. Psalm 18:1, you remember we read, it said, "I love you, Lord, my strength." Sometimes when we read that, we go, "I love you, Lord, my strength." And yes, the strength is there, but we forget about the love. God, David loved God with a tender intimacy. That's what that word, the context of that word means. It means to love deeply or with tender intimacy. "I love you, Lord." And you may be asking, well, how can I love God like that? I don't even know what love is. My experience of love has been all over the place. People have let me down, parents, friends, relationships. I don't really know what real love is. Well, I can help you there. Because when we begin to pray, God's presence comes upon us so that His love fills up our hearts. Romans 5:5 says, "God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us." God has poured out His love into our hearts. We don't have to necessarily be feeling warm and fuzzy all the time. We just have to have that knowledge in our head. In Ephesians 3:18-19, Paul prayed a prayer over the Ephesians that goes like this. "I pray that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." See, it surpasses knowledge. That's why we don't understand it fully. But if you begin on the journey of prayer and begin on the journey of understanding God's love, because it's written in here, and we know this to be true, then God's love begins to fill us more and more. So why did Paul pray this? Because the more our hearts are filled with God's love, the more our hearts will love Him. See, if you know that someone loves you, thinks you're just wonderful, then your heart's drawn to them, right? So another thing that happens as a result of prayer is what I want to just show you with my little props here. All right, the water in the jug represents God's love. The glass, I hope you can see it. Maybe I should have stood up on the stage. The glass represents our hearts. So it's not kind of rocket science, but as I fill the glass, this is God's love filling our hearts. And I'm not going to stop there, because what happens is when we spend time with God, the love in our hearts then overflows to others. and it's a continual stream. I won't keep filling it, I'll end up with a puddle. So the well is full, and because it's continually being refreshed, it overflows to others, because it's not something to keep for ourselves. There was a time in my life when I didn't really know how to love other people, because I didn't understand God's love for me. But as I spent time with him, and as he began to heal my brokenness, as I got spiritual surgery for the wounds and the hurts in my own life, then I was able to be filled with his love and therefore overflow into loving others. It's the preciousness of God I can't express more in my heart to you, because his love is so amazing and it surpasses knowledge. So spend some time with him and the same thing will happen to you. God cares about the minutest details of your life. He's our closest companion as we journey through this life. When we spend time praying to God on a daily basis, we'll get to see that our level of intimacy will deepen. The second thing that happens when we pray is it brings, number two, security. Security. God makes us strong and secure. Verse 2 of Psalm 18 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." All those words are pretty solid, aren't they? There's no movement in those words. A rock cannot be moved, especially one as big as God. David knew that his strength was found only in God. He was weak on his own. But what kept him going was the strength that he got from God as he faced these challenges. David was a man of action, and yet this verse shows that he goes to God first for strength before doing anything. You know, this was really evident in one of the stories in Samuel where the Amalekites had raided Ziklag, his home, his family's home, and his men and their family's home. They burned it down. And that was why David was, while he was away, they went in for his family. They burned it down and had captured his family and his men's families. It's hard for us to imagine such a mess kidnapping of this scale, along with the destruction of our homes. But this is what David and his men were facing. I'll just read a little bit from 1 Samuel 30, verses 3 to 6. "When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one, because of his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." Where did he go first and all of that? It's hard for us to relate to such a story like that, but if you've got any imagination, to imagine the desperation. He was about to be stoned by the people who followed him, but he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Do you know what happened after that, though? After he found his strength in God, he and his men pursued the Amalekites, and they were able to recover their families and their possessions. What happens when we are faced with a challenging situation or a grave disappointment, which is the reality of the life we all live? Do we complain? Or do we blame others? Or try and sort it out ourselves? Or do we go to Facebook first? Ouch. And air our frustration to the globe. Are we aware that the people we're trying to influence for Christ also read those things? Or do we go to God first and ask him for his help and guidance? Ephesians 3, 14 to 16 is another part of that prayer that Paul prayed over the Ephesians, and it goes like this: "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." Prayer enables us to be recharged with God's Spirit and power. There are many more prayers like this in the Bible that you can take and pray over yourself. You can pray them over other people. If you're not quite sure how to pray audaciously, like really powerfully for yourself, then personalize some of the prayers in the Bible. Psalms is full of beautiful prayers. Some of it's a bit kind of battle-driven, but I just ignore those bits and go to the bits that I know that are really going to be helpful for myself. Try memorizing them. Because I don't know about you, but there have been times when I've come to prayer and I've felt a bit dry. Maybe I haven't been praying consistently, or I think, where do I want to go with prayer today, Lord? What do you want to say? And I just begin to pray the prayers that I've memorized. And instantly there's a connection with God. Scripture memorization gets it from just reading it on the paper. It gets it into your spirit. And because we're so blessed and we can use our Bibles in this country, we don't know what it's like to have to carry it in our hearts because we can't carry it on paper. There are many in the world that cannot carry their Bible around. And we're so blessed, but it can make us lazy. So I encourage you to memorize Scripture. You don't have to do one a week or get under some law thing. It's just, you just set it up how you want. But it's so blessed me to have Scripture that I can pull out when I don't even have my Bible with me. It's a powerful thing. Okay, thirdly, prayer increases connectivity. God hears our prayers. Psalm 18, 3 to 6. Let's have a look at that. "I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for him for help before him came into his ears." See, when we pray, we experience a divine connectivity. In prayer, we talk to God and he listens to us. We listen to God and he talks to us. You know, the internet and mobile phones, as wonderful as they are, it's all right, I use them, have brought a whole new meaning to the word connect, haven't they? 100 years ago, they wouldn't have even known what we were talking about being disconnected. Because it's man-made, though, and controlled by people, it can disconnect. It can need refreshing, rebooting, updating, upgrading. I'm sure there's more words, but that's all I could think of at the moment. So we might ask ourselves, why am I not connected? Who's ever felt like that? Why am I not connected? Yes, many. God doesn't need refreshing, does he? The connection issue is not at his end. It's at our end. If we can reboot every day with God, we will be refreshed as we spend time in his presence, which keeps our connection throughout each day. Because I know that I'm connected to God, I can pray at any time about anything and have a secure connection. Let's go back to the question asked at the beginning. Is a daily moment with God still a necessity in my busy life? You know, as believers who understand what it is to be a disciple and who live in this challenging world, I don't think that the answer to that question can be anything but a resounding yes. Do you have a routine of praying every day? You know, I've been there in all seasons. as a young person, I'm still young, but you know, a younger person, a working single woman with a job that was demanding. I've had young children, 4 of them, and who would often wake at 5:30 in the morning, and my cry to God was, "Well, how can I get to get up at 4 in the morning? I just can't do that." And often I've been up the night with them anyway. So my encouragement to you is to make it fit. And don't think of it perhaps as fitting God into your schedule. God understands. And there are seasons that we go through life. You know, I loved that scripture when I had young children that said he is gentle with those with young. He's gentle with those with young. If you're a mum and you've got babies and you're up in the night or you've got little kids that wake at 5:30 like-minded, you know, he understands that. So let's not be law-driven with this, but make it fit. Make sure that there is some quiet moment each day with God. It doesn't have to be as long as your buddies or long as mum and dad's or whatever. It's something is better than nothing. But always aim for a little bit more if you can. So make it fit. Effective prayer is based on your personal relationship with God. Because we're God's children, we need to be confident that God the Father listens to our prayers. It's hard to have intimacy, security, and connectivity with someone if you don't know what your relationship to the person is. I must have the foundation of a personal relationship with God. There wouldn't be anything there if I didn't. Do you have a personal relationship with God? Effective prayer is based on knowing who God is. I had to retrain my mind with the absolutes that I understood about God. Having brokenness in my life, I'd learned to think the wrong way, and I got very good at that, very practiced. And I didn't really understand what a father's love really unconditionally looked like. So I had to retrain myself in my mind as to the absolutes in God, absolutes being immovable, unchanging. And as I began to believe that, it became part of me. See, we live out of what we believe. You know, we either believe we're this or that or whatever or what they think of me, and then you behave out of that. Well, I had to train myself to believe who God was. So God is good. God is wise. God is loving. God is powerful. God is in control. God is faithful. And this just describes a few of his characteristics. He is our shield, the one who always protects us. You might not believe that today, but I encourage you to look in the Word and get the absolutes of who God is, and then you can connect to Him. We are confident that the answers to our prayers are based on His character. See, we go to God for who He is, not because of what He does, because stuff happens and we don't understand everything. But knowing who God is means that we don't fall off. The train doesn't leave the tracks. It stays on the tracks. It might slow down for a bit, and it might go through some stormy weather, but it stays on the track. To keep that connection going, you need to understand who God is. Do you have an assurance that God is hearing your prayers?